This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Radiologist Dr. Larry Burke is one of the early proponents of MRI technology, very definitely a high-tech medical guy. But a series of events led him to look into holistic practices as well, and his path took a real turn when he discovered the power of dreams. Three women in his life reported that a nightmare about cancer sent them to the doctor's office, which led him to wonder if dreams could predict fatal illness. Dr. Larry Burke has a new book called Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases, and he joins us now. Larry Burke, welcome to the State of Things.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
I want to take you back and to do a little bit of your life story before we get to some of this, because you had an amazing career as a radiologist, and you were there at the sort of dawn of MRI, right?
Yeah. And I kind of ran it. Before 1987, I was an ambitious academic radiologist, and that was my main focus, was climbing to the top of the MRI pyramid. And then in 86, 87, I had like a perfect storm of things happen. I was on the National Safety Committee for MRI, concerned about claustrophobic patients, so I got interested in hypnosis. I also got interested in electromagnetic fields as a safety concern, which led me to acupuncture interest. And then I found my first metaphysical bookstore, started keeping a dream diary, and my dad got cancer. And then I had a dream about the cancer a week before he was diagnosed.
Oh, okay. So all of this is sort of happening at once. And some of it, I mean, it's interesting to me that it is your work with MRI and radiology that leads you first into these holistic practices. Can hypnosis, for instance, help us overcome our claustrophobia?
Yeah, and that was really my entree into it, because hypnosis was, and you know, the term alternative medicine is kind of antagonistic, but really hypnosis was an alternative to Valium to get someone through an MRI scanner. And Valium had a downside. If you got an intravenous Valium injection, you didn't care where you were anymore. But if you're in the magnet and you quit breathing, that was a problem. So hypnosis...
A negative side effect.
Hypnosis was actually empowering to people because they got out of the magnet. Yeah. So I got through that on my own resources. I'm going to use this when I go to the dentist. You know.
But as the guy who is in the vanguard of this MRI technology, what was your first... You thought, all right, let me try hypnosis. Were you skeptical? Did this holistic thing sound like... I mean, what was your impression of it before you began to look into it?
I happen to have a really good hypnosis teacher in Philadelphia, and I volunteered to be this demonstration subject in the first workshop I went to, and I watched myself go into trance, and it kind of freaked me out. It was like, I think a real experience is the way a lot of people shift their worldview. I mean, you can show them all the scientific data in the world about stuff, and there's a lot of good data on hypnosis for medical applications, but having the experience is really... shifts people's way of thinking.
So now tell us more about this dream that you had, which in a sense predicted your father's diagnosis.
Yeah, so I was just dutifully writing my dreams down. And one night, it was Thanksgiving night, my dad had come from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia, hadn't seen him in months. And that night, I wrote down a dream that I actually had a dream about myself having cancer in the left side of my brain. And the CAT scan picked it up, and everyone was shocked because I was totally asymptomatic. They weren't expecting anything. And then I just wrote it down. I didn't really think much about it. I just wrote that dream down. And then a week later, my dad got diagnosed with kidney cancer. It was the same scenario. Everyone was shocked. He had a CAT scan, and he looked so healthy. They couldn't believe it. And I have the same name as my dad. I'm a junior. So something I must have picked up when he was there for that one visit, I translated into my story about the brain tumor. And then, lo and behold, you know, there was a definite correlation.
To be clear, you did not have brain cancer.
No.
So you had a dream about you. Then it turns out that your father has it. What did you make of that? I mean, did you write it off at the time? What happened?
Well, I happened to I just picked up Bernie Siegel's new book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles, on the way to see my dad for the diagnosis. And Bernie was the first doctor in my entire training who gave any credence to dreams at all. So he was kind of like my dream mentor. And it's wonderful, full circle for me now, 30 years later, he wrote the foreword for the book. So that's a big deal for me.
So what kinds of things was he saying?
Oh, yeah. Listen to what your patients say about their dreams. And he even had one of his sons actually woke up after a dream and said, Dad, I need an x-ray of my knee. And Bernie's like, well, maybe you take an aspirin or something. And he turned out to have a benign bone tumor that was found on the x-ray. So, yeah, stuff like that was way outside my paradigm back then. So.
All right, so talk about that, because then, it, again, coincidentally, three women in fairly close succession come to you with dreams. Tell us about it.
One of my best friends, who is a meditation teacher and a scientist, just in 2004 said, I had this dream about being on an operating room table with a woman surgeon operating on my breast, and she knew exactly where the cancer was in the dream. She went and got her mammogram. A radiologist comes out. A woman radiologist says, you can come back in a year. You're fine. And she's like, I think I still have breast cancer. Would you do an ultrasound? And the radiologist goes, well, no, we don't just do an ultrasound if you don't have a lump or a symptom or something on a mammogram. It'd be like a fishing expedition. I wouldn't even know where to start. And Diane goes, well, I'm not leaving until you do the ultrasound. She goes, okay, well, where? She said, do it right here. And put the ultrasound probe on there, and the radiologist turns pale and goes, oh, there's a cancer deep in your breast. How did you know it was there? And she says, it was a dream.
So all this is happening in real time, in waking time. The dream was the thing that led her to the...
And so then a week later, she goes for an appointment for the surgeon, who she never met before, and it's the woman in the dream.
It looked like her?
Oh, it was her. Yeah. It was yeah.
All right. So there's one. We're going to come back to kind of what you think is going on. So I promised to ask that, but I want to hear the other stories as well.
And then a friend of mine, a local physician, same story. She had actually two dreams in one night. The first one was about a serial killer. Nothing about health, but it made you want to get up and, you know, like check your door to make sure they're locked. And the second one was specifically about breast cancer, and she saw exactly where the breast cancer was. She goes in to get her mammogram. Same story. Radiologist comes out and goes, you can come back in a year. You're fine. And she goes, and the radiologist looks at her and goes, you don't look happy. Most women run out the door like singing when I tell them that. And she goes, I still think I have breast cancer. Let's look at the mammogram again. So they pulled the mammogram out, and the radiologist goes, where do you think it is? Oh, I think it's right here. And the radiologist looks again and goes, well, maybe that is a little suspicious. And they biopsy it, and she had breast cancer. So, yeah.
So what do you – and there is a third story. So why don't we talk about all these, because I want to come – because these could be coincidences. So and we'll talk about the research around it and, again, what you think is going on. But tell us the third story.
The third woman was someone I didn't know quite that well, but she was a friend. And she once she heard I was gathering these stories, she said, well, I had a dream about breast cancer, very specific. I knew where it was. I went in. I had some symptoms. I even felt a little tenderness. My doctor examined me, kind of blew it off, just like, nah, I don't think it's just normal breast tissue. Did not even order a mammogram or an ultrasound or anything. And she died of metastatic breast cancer a couple years later. So that cautionary tale, Sonia Lee Shields' tale, was like, I want to make sure that, you know, in the future, do some research, find out if women have these dreams or men have these dreams, that their doctor takes them seriously, at least does some tests.
All right, so talk about what happened after that. These three stories come to you. What do you do next?
So I started doing literature search like any responsible researcher and didn't find much in the medical literature. Found one case report in the nursing literature and then found two books that were being written by women who had the dreams, and then decided I need to do a survey at least to find out how many other people had this. And dreamscloud.com was the Facebook site for dreams, which provided me a platform. And then a few holistic doctors referred some patients through their Facebook page, Christiane Northrup, Lisa Rankin, and Larry Dossey in particular, and the International Association for Study of Dreams helped me promote it. I got 18 responses and with dramatic stories just like and the fun thing has been they were just numbers in my study now. Mm-hmm. But then we've interviewed at least half of them for the book, got their detailed stories, and so really fleshed them out as people. And we have our own little private Facebook group and everything, so it's pretty cool.
All right, now that's 18 and 3. That gives you 21.
Well, the three were the two of those were counted in the 18.
All right,
and one of them was not.
So this is not a big number now.
No,
How much credibility could we put into the possibility? There are extraordinary stories, to be sure. But now, what do we do with that? How much credibility or how much credence can we put into the possibility that dreams can detect our illnesses?
Yeah, I drew in my TEDx talk that I gave in Raleigh. I drew the analogy between my first MRI paper, where I had 20 case reports of MRI the knee. showing meniscal tears, and the surgeons found them at surgery. And that was like, it wasn't a randomized controlled trial. It wasn't a real serious study. And that's where we are in dreams right now, 30 years later. And so what needs to happen is we need to find a control group, need to find out how many women are having dreams out there who never come to the doctor and don't have breast cancer and whatever. So we just started doing a really small pilot study at Duke in the Breast Imaging Center. Just every woman who comes in for a breast biopsy, we just give them a little survey, say, did you have a dream? Just to find out how many of them are having dreams out there. And that's still halfway through collecting that information. And that's an anonymous survey. They don't have to give any consent. The next step would be to get funding to do a real study. And the nice thing about that is two-thirds of breast biopsies are benign. So we'd have a huge control group compared to a third of them are malignant. So we'd be able to maybe parse out what characteristics of a dream suggest more likely to be malignant. Can you predict the result of the biopsy based on the dream? And DreamsCloud just started a Circadia Labs down in Austin, Texas, to do more rigorous dream research. So hopefully we'll be collaborating with them in the future. But we're going to need some funding. And I don't know if the NIH will fund studies on dreams. We'll find out.
Two intriguing patterns in your stories. One is that all of these have been cancer diagnoses, and all but one, your case with your father, have been women. What's the correlation there? Do men report these dreams?
We've got about four men in the book that report their cancer dreams. One of them was a physician who dreamed his testicular cancer. One was a holistic nurse who dreamed his lung cancer. We had basal cell cancer and also prostate cancer. So yeah, the men are doing it. I think the breast cancer was the easiest route to get some data. And I think we can expand this. Colon cancer is a really interesting area because I'm thinking about places where we do a lot of diagnostic screening tests, like yeah. Colonoscopy. And a nice thing that's happened is after I published the paper, did the TED Talk, we're getting reports of other people having dreams of other types of cancer and other illnesses. So one of my high school classmates who didn't know that well said, Facebook me and said, 13 years ago, I had a dream about blood in the toilet every night for days until it just drove me to get a colonoscopy. They found a pea-sized colon cancer that had already spread to the lymph nodes.
Wow.
And she had surgery and radiation 13 years ago. It's fine. But if she'd have waited until she actually saw the blood in the toilet, it might have been too late.
Right, but whenever the colonoscopy would have been scheduled, whatever the date is. So what do you think is going on here?
Okay, three possible mechanisms you can think about. One is people actually have some symptoms that they're in denial of. And people do tend to deny their symptoms, like, I'm going to pretend I didn't feel that lump or have that pain. That's one. That's the easiest explanation for the conventional scientist to handle.
So Rationally, you feel it in your waking hours, and you go to, but only when you go to sleep does your subconscious knock on the door and said, "No, it really was a lump."
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the second level would be there is some subtle physiologic signaling system in the body, the psychoneuroimmunology, whatever you want to call it. Neuropeptides or neurotransmitters are sending this message that comes out in your subconscious through a dream, and you didn't have any symptoms that you were aware of. Mm-hmm. And then the third level would be there's an intuitive process that we can't explain at this point with our science. And it also talks about like how I could pick up my dad's cancer. And we had one woman in the study who dreamed that her mother was going to die of cervical cancer, and her mother was asymptomatic. And she also dreamed at the same time that she had breast cancer. So when her mother was diagnosed shortly after her dream and then died, she thought, oh, maybe that dream about my breast cancer was true. So she went back for a mammogram every year for 5 years, and finally an ultrasound found it after five. So, yeah, those kind of tales are interesting.
So the other thing is, in all of this, too, is that these were mostly medical practitioners who you report, and they report, you know, a cancer diagnosis. It makes one wonder if something's happening, if dreams are actually telling us about our physiology and about our condition. If you didn't have the training, you might be getting a dream that can't tell you in terms of cancer or that sort of thing. So what if you're not a medical practitioner, you're getting the knock at the door, but it doesn't say cancer?
Yeah. I'd say the minority of the people in the book were healthcare professionals. But the two key questions to ask when you have an alarming health-related dream. First of all, am I dreaming about myself or someone else? Mm-hmm. That's the first question. Second question is it a physical problem, or is it a metaphor for some emotional disturbance in my life? And the only way to answer that without technology is to ask for a clarifying dream. And when you get in the habit of keeping a dream diary and you get good at recalling your dreams, and you get a disturbing dream, the next thing you do the next night is just say, I want more information about this. And one of my MRI technologists, Ann Charles, who's a really close friend, when she heard I was doing the TED Talk, she said, I had this amazing experience where I dreamed I was giving birth. And I was late 50s, postmenopausal. I knew that was impossible. And I thought, oh, it's probably a creative project I'm giving birth to. And because she's an artist. And she said, but I better check to be sure. So the next night she says, I want to know more about that dream last night. And she gets taken to a graveyard in Ireland, shown a headstone with daisies around it. And the voice message in the dream says, if you don't do something about that dream last night, you're going to be pushing up these daisies soon. And so she goes to the gynecologist, has an ultrasound, they find an endometrial cancer. So it was like, there it was. And they did a vaginal hysterectomy. So it was all, the tumor was delivered as a baby would be. So the metaphor was perfect in the dream.
So what's intriguing about this, and again, it shouldn't strike anyone as actually that peculiar. You mentioned this is your second possibility of what might be going on. We have these subtle shifts in biological balances, peptides, magnetic fields. We've got them all. We've measured. We know all that. So MRI is magnetic resonance. Yeah. So it's all there. We may not feel them because they're so subtle, but they might register with the subconscious. So if you take all that as a possibility, then two things are necessary. One, as you say, a little more research into dreams. Mm-hmm. But also it would mean that doctors and other medical practitioners should figure out a way to help people either interpret or pursue what's going on with their subconscious. Something's telling them something.
I mean, it's my vision in writing the book is to restore dreams to some valuable place in medicine, considering that the symbol of modern medicine is the Asclepian rod with one snake around it. And everyone's forgotten those are the Asclepian dream temples where people went seeking healing. And that's a huge possibility. So I just encourage people to keep a dream diary, develop a discipline around it, and pay attention. And ask a question every night before you go to bed that you want an answer to. It doesn't have to be about your health. It could be about your finances or your relationships. And prompt the dream world to give you something back.
Do you suppose there are some people who are more adept at this kind of thing than others? I mean, biologically?
Yeah, I mean, there are clearly some of the people in the book were highly intuitive when they're awake. But the good news for men who are really left-brained is your best chance of being intuitive is when you're asleep, because your left brain's going to go offline, your right brain's going to come out and play. So that's encouraging for the linear thinkers of us out there.
Is there what kind of pushback do you get in the medical world?
I think people want to see a control group, first of all. I mean, that would be the first objection to anything. And, of course, my TED Talk did get censored because it didn't meet their scientific criteria, which was interesting because I took great pains to be careful and not make any outrageous claims and be conservative. But anyway. So
but as you say, there is research going on, at least on the dream side of this. Yeah. Are there any other you talked about your mentor in this field. Are there any other people in the medical – is the medical profession taking this a little more seriously these days?
There are two books by a psychiatrist from many years ago, a Russian and a Brit who reported many of these dreams. And the Russian had 1,000 or more, including 40 brain tumors. You know, so but that's not scientific evidence. It wasn't a paper published. So, and I think this is fertile ground for research, and I'm excited to find out what we discover in future studies. So.
Dr. Larry Burke, a holistic radiologist and co-author of the book Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases, going to be speaking in Durham tonight at the Regulator Bookshop, tomorrow night in Greensboro at Scuppernong Books, and on Saturday in Charlotte at Park Road Books. And, of course, we've got all of that at our website, stateofthings.org. Thanks so much, Larry. Good to talk with you.
Thanks, Frank.
Coming up on The State of Things, we'll learn about a different kind of monument in Raleigh. Stay tuned.